Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Hey, if you're a guest, I want to welcome you. My name's Derek. I get the pleasure and honor of leading this church. Really, man, it's just a joy to lead this church. If you're a guest, though, I just want to personally welcome you. Well, today we're in this series entitled Rally Caps, where we're looking at what do we do when we find ourselves up against the ropes of life, when we find ourselves down and there doesn't look like there's any way out. And so today, what I want to look into is the importance of community, the importance of others, the importance of togetherness when we find ourselves in a moment where we need a rally, where we need to see a comeback in our life, in our finances, in our careers, in our relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with the local church. If we need to see a rally, what I want to put before you is I believe that's going to come through community. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bible, go ahead and pull it out. If you've got a Bible app on your phone, just go ahead and pull that out. Mark chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in the early phases of Jesus' public ministry. So he's an adult now. He's going around teaching, and people are like seeing Jesus drop the mic whenever he preaches, and they're like, well, who is this guy? And hey, where is he getting this kind of teaching from? And not only is Jesus teaching these incredible truths that are from the God, from the Father, through the Holy Spirit, as Jesus speaks them, he's also backing that teaching up, that truth up, with some power. He's healing people. He's casting out demons, and he's raising the dead. And just imagine the buzz that's going on. Have you seen this guy Jesus preach? And there's a buzz going on. Have you seen this guy heal somebody? Have you seen this new guy on the block, Jesus? And so everybody wanted to get around Jesus at the early part of his public ministry. There weren't a bunch of haters at this point. So people were buzzing. They were going around. This is what we're picking up in chapter 2 of Mark. So it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, chilling, just trying to get a breath. Your Bible say that? No, that's my Bible. Verse 2, and many were gathered together so that there were no more room. There was no more room, not even at the door. So we're talking about overflow seating. And it says this last line. It says, and he was preaching the word to them. Man, that's a beautiful thing from your pastor to hear. Jesus was preaching the word of God to them. And then verse 3, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. So they're not speaking this out. Real clear here. It's internal dialogue they're having that we all have. These questions that we have, it says they're questioning in their hearts. Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. He is lying. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's really important. If you have your Bible, underline that. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving through the Spirit, he perceived in his spirit that they were questioning him within themselves. He said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Now, imagine if you were part of this town. Likely, you would have known about this guy that was paralyzed. Maybe you knew his backstory. Maybe he was born that way. Maybe he had an accident. But you would have probably known him. And then just imagine if you saw this guy who you never saw walk, get up, pick up his bed, and walk out the house. Wouldn't you be a little astonished and be like, what just happened? Like, that's incredible. And that's one of the major lines of the story. But one of the subplots of the story, which is probably more important than this guy being healed, is the fact that what Jesus is saying, this is what he's saying, if you want to know what Jesus is saying. I am God. We can't miss out on this. So the Pharisees and the scribes, when they said, hey, only God can forgive sins, that was a truth statement that they spoke. You're right, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus says, to prove the fact that I've got the authority to forgive sins, because, by the way, I am God, I'm going to back it up with some truth right here, with some power. Hey, buddy, get up and walk and show them that I have the authority to forgive sins, right? incredible truth about Jesus as being God. People say, man, Jesus never said he God. Right here, you can go home and you can say, man, Jesus made a clear statement that he was God because he forgave sins and he said he had the authority to do so. But one of the other subplots of this story is four men. And this is where I want to go today in our time together. There's these four men. We don't know a bunch about them. We don't know, did they go to high school with this guy? You know, were they fraternity brothers in college? Like, we don't know about these four men. All we know is there were four men, and at some point they came in contact with this man that was paralyzed, and one of them had this idea, let's take this guy to Jesus because I've heard that he can heal. And maybe, just maybe, if we can get this man who's been paralyzed in front of Jesus, maybe Jesus will heal him. So they pick him up in his bed and they carry him to the house where Jesus is. But the house is packed. It's a big old group that's in there and they can't get in. And so what do? They're determined. They persevere. They're persistent. They get up on the roof and they start cutting out the roof and not caring about homeowners insurance, obviously, any of that stuff. And they open up the roof big enough and they take the bed with the man on it and they lower it down in front of Jesus. I want us to be clear about some things when we're talking about rally. I believe that community is essential to a God-empowered rally. Community is essential to a God-empowered rally. Just think about this. If these guys wouldn't have ever been with this paralyzed man, he never would have gotten in front of Jesus. Have you thought about that before? So this man's life would have never been changed. He never would have seen a rally if it wasn't for the four men that got him to the house and then didn't say no and then got him actually in front of Jesus. It was the four men that got him there that Jesus then performed a miracle. And what's incredible, if you look back, I think it's verse 5. He saw the guys lay down, the men, and then it says, and Jesus saw their faith. Do you know whose faith Jesus saw? The four men. He said he saw the four men's faith, and because of that faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven, and he proceeded to heal this paralyzed man. Here's what I want us to make sure we understand today, that we should never underestimate the impact of those around us on us. I'm going to say that again. We need to get this morning. We should never underestimate the impact of others around us, on us, right? The scripture is filled with things like this. Solomon wrote this consistently in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. How many of your mamas ever said, hey, be careful who you hang out with, you'll become like them? Anybody else's mama ever say that? Come on, let's see your hands. Anybody else? Well, here's the thing. Your mama ain't that smart. She didn't come up with that. She got that from the scriptures. Don't tell your mama I said that, but she's not that smart. The scriptures say, hey, if you hang out with the wise, guess what? They're going to overflow into your life and you're going to be wise. But guess what? The other side is if you hang out with a bunch of fools, a bunch of crazies, a bunch of people drama, guess what? That residue is going to be all over you and you're going to begin to be acting just like they act. A little bit later in Proverbs, Solomon writes this other thing that a lot of men's groups love to quote. Jeff, you'll love this wherever you are. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, what's interesting in this verse is we use that usually in the positive. Like, if I'm in relationship with other men that are following Jesus and wanting to follow his ways, then we're going to sharpen one another, and we're going to point each other to Jesus, so our faith is lived out, right? But I think the opposite is true as well. So when I'm around other people, they're sharpening me one way or the other. We're coming together, and I'm either being formed in the image of Jesus or I'm being conformed to the image of this world. But one way or the other, the people that are closest to you, they are sharpening you one way or another. So how are the people closest to you sharpening you? How are they influencing your life? Who is your inner circle? And do you want to be like them? That's a question we should ask sometimes. Is my community, the people that I hang with, the people that I'm closest to, do I want to be like them? What's incredible is that the community of this paralyzed man, it was through their love and through their diligence and through their serving him that enabled him to be in the presence of Jesus where he was healed. Now, there's another passage that the same author writes about in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12. It's a great passage, one that's usually used at weddings, and so maybe you've heard this passage before. The writer says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." It's a beautiful picture of a marriage, two together, but it's also a picture of a friendship. It's a picture of community, not just marriage. If one falls down and he's all by himself, we've all seen the commercial, "Help me, I'm down." What is she, you can laugh at that, it's okay. I can't get up, right? Why can't she get up? She doesn't have anybody to help her up. But she has the thing around her neck and she can push that, right? And that allows her to have some help to get up, right? We gotta lean on other people. And so I would put before you, if you want to see a rally in your life, if you're asking God to bring a comeback in your life, it's likely going to come through the help of other people. Because God has designed us for community, and it's through community that God wants to bring hope, restoration, and healing in our lives. And why do I say that? Well, I say that because in the scriptures, we see this consistently. Moses had Aaron. David had Nathan, Esther had Mordecai, and I've shared, you know, our marriage, our first 5 years was pretty hellacious. We were running down the road of divorce, but another man came into my life and challenged me and encouraged me and walked with me through that season, right, leaning. When I finally had this epiphany that where I was heading down was not had anything to do with God and I needed to yield my life to God, it was through a community of other men in my life that began to conform me into the image of Jesus. So I want to put before you today, if you want to see a miracle, if you want to see a comeback, a rally in your life in any area, it's likely going to come through other people. Just like it did for this man that was paralyzed. He had to lean on people other than himself. And if we're going to do that, I think the word that stands out to me is friends. And I was thinking this week of what does it look like to be a good friend and how do we take some things from this story? And so I've got three things that I would love for you to write down for us to be a friend, but also when you're looking to say, man, who's going to be my entourage? Who's going to be my posse? I'm trying to get this language down with the young kids. Who is going to be my, I don't know another word, any other high school kids, another word, my peeps? Is that old school? That's probably way old school. My amigos, whatever it is. Who is going to be my inner circle? Here's some things that we should be considering when you're looking at who is my community and do they fit into what a God-honoring community looks like? Number one thing we should consider, friends carry you when you can't walk. This man is a great example. Man, he could not walk. He was paralyzed. And so he had to rely on somebody else to get him from point A to point B. And I'm telling you, there are times in our life where we cannot take another step, proverbially, hypothetically, but also in real life sometimes. There's a time where like, I'm tapped out. I can't take another day. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm done. I want to check out. I want to run from my circumstance. It's in those moments that we have community that says, no, listen, I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm with you, Max. I'm here for you, man. Just another step. Let me actually carry you when you can't be walking yourself. I'm going to be there with you. That's what it looks like to be a friend. That's what it looks like to have a friend. They carry you when you cannot walk. The second thing is that they believe in you when you don't believe in yourself. Any amens to that one? How many of you are like me, and this is always scary when I say that, because you're like, I don't want to be like you, Derek. I get that. But how many of you are like me? It's so much easier for me to see God working in somebody else's life than in my own life. Anybody else agree with that? Like all day long, I can sit down with people that I love that are in my inner circle and I can say, man, God is working in your life. Man, why are you believing those lies about yourself? And I can tell them all day long, all the ways that God is working. But when it looks sometimes at my own life, I'm like, man, God isn't there. I'm on an island, I'm all by myself. Where's God? See, it's in those moments that are dark when we have our backs up against the wall that I believe God has given us community to say, Derek, no, you know what? God is working. See him right here. That thing that happened last week, God is actually all around you, Derek. And that stirs up our faith to believe that God is able. We need people around us that believe when we can't believe. And the last one that I think a good friend, the friend that we see here in this story, is that friends cover our faith when we are struggling with our own faith. Friends cover our faith when we're struggling with our own faith. When I don't have faith in myself or I'm struggling with my faith in God, it's in those moments where a friend will hold up the shield of faith like we talked about a few weeks ago, when I just need a moment to process, and they hold up their shield of faith and they say, I'm gonna take on the darts of the enemy for you here for a moment. You just take a deep breath, buddy. I'm right here with you. And their faith covers my faith in that moment. That's what it looks like to be a friend in the community of God. We carry each other when we can't walk. We believe in each other when we don't believe ourselves. And we cover each other in faith when we are struggling to have faith in ourselves. We don't know the story of the paralytic. I don't know if he was hopeful that he was like, man, get me to Jesus. Or if he was like, nope, I've already been prayed for a million times. I've been like this my whole life. There's no hope. I don't know what he was like. But what I do know is these four guys that were around him, his community, they believed, they had faith, and they were willing to walk with this guy when he couldn't walk himself. So I would ask you again, what does your community, what is it doing? Where is it leading? Who is around you? And is it helping or hindering your rally in your life? That's the question we should be asking. Is it helping or are my people hindering what God wants to do and empower in my life? And I would invite you to ask that question this week. And then I would ask you to consider this. If you're a person that says, man, I don't have that kind of community, which, by the way, there's many of us in this room that's very full. Many of us are feeling alone right now in this moment. I know it because I talked to many of you. That's a lie from the enemy to say you're alone. But listen, sometimes we just got to say, I want to take a step out in faith and I'm going to try to put myself out there. And so listen, as a church, we can't be matchmaker, friend maker, right? That's not our job. But what we can do is say, when you say, I need some community, we can say, hey, we got some options. We're going to connect you some people, and we're going to see what the Spirit of God does. And so this week, if you're sitting there saying, man, I come to this church on Sunday, and I leave on Sunday, and I don't have any community, I'm telling you, there are opportunities. If you would just raise up your hand and take a step of humility, I guarantee you Miss Kim or somebody on our staff would love to connect you to a study or a small group where you can actually have some community, work through that awkward phase that is always there at the beginning, and to begin to live out some of these things that we just talked about today. Now, in this series, we've been trying to see if we can inspire one another with the stories from within. And so today, we've got a special guest and a special testimony that I pray will encourage you and inspire you to believe that God is able in whatever season you're in. So watch this video and be inspired.
Growing up in Ohio, you know, Ohio State football is our big sports team.
You eat it, you sleep it, you breathe it, it's all around you.
I dreamed of playing there as a kid.
And then 2 weeks into spring practice, a life-changing experience happened for the both of us.
There are moments in your life and your career that you remember right where you were. And I remember right where I was in spring practice.
It was April 14th. We had an inter-squad scrimmage and they divided the team up.
You know, I was out there trying to make a big splash. Tyson ran a curl route.
And I went into the middle of the field, caught the ball. And as I went to tuck it, Kurt caught up to me.
He fumbled the ball. We picked it up. We scored. We're jumping up, celebrating. I went from the highest moment and I look back and Tyson's not moving. And everything just dropped.
I just landed awkwardly, and that's when my neck broke.
He just laid there, did not move, and for quite a while.
I literally could not feel anything from basically my neck down. It was like my body just disappeared.
I mean, he was just totally motionless. The entire oxygen was taken out of the stadium. It's hard to describe.
I kept saying, Rob, there's something wrong. And we found out that there was.
We found out that he was paralyzed, and I was very hesitant about going to the hospital because of the fact that I did that to him. I've never played the game to injure anybody like that, and I really didn't know if I wanted to play the game of football anymore.
I'm sure the guilt was weighing on him because he felt responsible for, injuring me.
As soon as I walked in the door, this family embraced me.
When he came in, we hugged him, said that this is something that you don't need to blame yourself for it.
You know, we cried, we shed tears, and Tyson, you know, just told me it was all right.
There wasn't even a moment of hesitation as far as forgiving him or putting any blame on him.
I'm forever grateful for him being the man that he is and really giving me the encouragement and the strength to push through and to continue my career in football.
It'll be 10 years in April. So I've been able to look and reflect back over the last 10 years of how God has really brought everything together to be able to bring me through the difficult time and allow me to find a wife and get married and now to have a kid. Like, it's just, those are all questions that went through my mind when I was being wheeled off the field.
I love them so much. They're great human beings. You know, I'm forever going to be in his life, his family's life.
It really has been worth all the bad times that I've gone through to experience all the great things that I have.
Yeah, it's our honor that we get to have Tyson Jensen. Would you make him feel at home here at Christ Fellowship? Yeah. Yeah, man.
Thank you very much.
Hey, that's impressive, man.
That is.
A standing O before a guy even speaks. Like, that's incredible. Like, man, that's awesome, Tyson. That How about nice that, thing. Man? But you don't get that in Florida or Ohio, do you?
Hopefully I get it after.
Yeah, afterwards. We'll see what happens afterwards. Yeah. Hey, Tyson and I, man, we played football together at the
Ohio State
Yeah, come
University.
On, come on. And that's why I got my beautiful shirt on here. Go Bucks. He knows what to say when I say O-H.
I-O, baby.
And it does take two people in Ohio to spell Ohio, just so you know that.
Debatable.
It's debatable sometimes. But here's the deal. When I was thinking about this series and wondering, you know, who could I have come up and share who I know has been up against the ropes in a potentially a tough situation and yet has allowed God to use it in incredible ways, I immediately thought of Tyson. Now, here's the problem. Tyson lives in Florida, right outside of Tampa Bay, him and his wife Megan and their two little kiddos over here. And so I just want you to even show you how more dedicated as he and his wife drove that entire drive with a couple-month-old and a two-year-old, which if you have kids, you know that was a chore. And they drove up here and literally stayed the night, and they're driving back tomorrow because he wanted to share his heart this morning. And so it's such an honor to have him here. You saw the video up there. I was actually staying on the sideline. We played wide receiver together, so we spent some time with the XZs.
That's right.
We had a lot of fun. And I was about 15 or 20 yards from Tyson when he ran that curl route right in front of me and got tackled by our friend Kurt, who's playing for the Saints now. Just a normal play, just a normal tackle, except Tyson never got up again. And he was paralyzed. And so this morning, I asked him just to speak about that moment, what he battled through, and how God has used him and worked through this season of his life. So Tyson, thank you again, and I think you'll be inspired by his message.
All right, thank you very much. I'm very honored and blessed to be here. You guys live in a beautiful state. We moved down from Ohio to Florida about 7 years ago, and I'm telling you what, I definitely miss the views, the greenery, it's just beautiful here. I love the hills and the mountains and everything, so very much appreciate being here to share with you this morning. I definitely want to make sure that as you listen to my story and sit here and observe me and see me in my wheelchair, that you don't try to compare your struggles to mine. We all have our own struggles that we go through, and I want you to know that your struggles are worthy just as much as mine of someone else's love and attention and care. And no matter how big or how small of struggles you're going through, you can get through them with the help of others, and that's what this is all about. And God is your safety net, though. And no matter, again, what you're going through, if God is your foundation, when you do hit that rock bottom, he will be there for you in those moments to encourage you and bring you out of it, along with your family and friends. I always say faith, family, and friends, because that is what it's all about, and that's what's going to get you through those difficult times. And if you, again, have God as your foundation, you can get through it. All right, God was there for me in my darkest times, and I know that he can be there for you. And Noah started building the boat before the rain came, so please take this day, if you haven't already, to make that effort to put God as your foundation, as your rock, that when those rains do come and when those tough times do come, if they haven't already, that you know that you can lean on him in those moments of weakness. Christians are often told to help. Many times, you know, I'm sure you guys have all heard it, that help those in need.
brotherly love, help those whenever they need it. And if you have the ability to help someone, then you should. But it's also often missed as a message saying that you need to ask for help. And it's very common. I've really come to learn in my journey that people are often willing to help. People love to help. It makes us feel good. It's what we do as Christians. It's what we do as people. You don't need to be a Christian to help others. There are plenty of good people who aren't Christians who help. But it's when you need help, standing up and being big enough to ask for help, because if you don't ask, it's not going to happen. And I've really come to realize that. So please keep that in mind as you, again, hear a little bit more about my story. People give me credit all the time for being so strong and being able to go through what I've been through and to come out so positive on this end and inspiring, whatever you want to say. But the truth is, I wouldn't be here without the help of a lot of people. I've had to ask for help thousands of times. I have to ask for help on a daily basis. My wife helps me get out of bed in the morning. She helps me get dressed. She helps me go to the bathroom. There's things that I never dreamed that I would ever need to rely on somebody else for one day. But as a 20-year-old man, I went from being a Division I athlete living out my dream playing at Ohio State. All the hours and years of effort and hard work that I put in to make that dream come true, obviously with God's help, it wasn't just me. All those hours that I spent lifting weights and running and working out and whatever it may be to make that happen all went away in a matter of a second, less than a second, when I hit that ground for a routine tackle that changed my life and at the end of the day put me here in front of you so I could share my story and hopefully inspire you. But again, I rely on others every single day. There are times that we'll go to the grocery store and we'll split up to try and divide and conquer, get the grocery shopping done a little sooner. Guys, I know you're out there being like, yeah, I don't like the grocery shop. We need to get this done, get out of here, go back home and relax. So we'll divide and conquer, and there are things that are on the shelves. I don't have any hand function. I've got bicep function and shoulder function. After I broke my neck, I didn't have anything. And after rehab, I was thankfully able to regain use of my biceps so I can feed myself and, you know, grab things if I can, just roughly pick things up, that sort of thing. So I'm very blessed from that standpoint to have regained this movement. So I'll be going through the grocery store and there's something either up high on a shelf or whatever, and I play that game of, okay, who's nearby that I can ask? And a lot of times I'll see, you know, a person in their 30s, 40s, whatever it may be, and sure, they could help me. But then I'll see maybe an older person or somebody like that who's by themselves. And I'll just say, you know what, maybe that person really, really needs somebody to help out so they can maybe feel a little bit better about themselves or feel like, hey, you know, I can still contribute and help others. So again, I never thought that I would need to rely on somebody for something as simple as getting something off the shelf for me. But you know what, it made that person feel better about themselves for being able to help me, and I was able to get a little grocery shopping done, so it all works out in the end. So again, no matter what you're going through, please make sure that you take the time to ask for help. It may not feel like the proudest moment in your life. You may not feel like, you know, you, again, just not something that you would ever feel like you would ever have to do, but we all are going to experience difficulties in our life at some point. And when those days come, you need to get your faith, your family, and your friends on board, because like Derek said in that passage, it was his four friends that brought him to that house that Jesus was in to be able to get him to that point where Jesus could bless him and give him that miracle that he needed to pick up his mat and go about his day in a whole new way, obviously. His whole life consisted of a routine up to that point. And man, that those four friends stepped up. He may not have even asked, but they took him and brought him to Jesus, and Jesus healed him, and he went about his way after that and led a whole different life after that. So again, you may be sitting here in your seat today and thinking, you know, how am I going to find a job? How am I going to fix my relationship with my wife? How am I going to find the money that I need to make ends meet? Whatever your struggles are, even serious health problems, one way, shape, or form or another, you're going to have somebody in your life, or maybe even somebody you haven't even met yet. Was that me? All right, we're good. Somebody that you haven't even met yet who may come into your life and change it for the better. And swallow your pride, whatever it takes. Ask for help. You need to ask for help, because otherwise it's not going to get done. And Derek just said it all with saying that you bring your community in together and you just stick together and you'll get through it one way or another. And it may not happen the first day, it may not happen the first week, the first month, whatever it may be. But eventually you'll be able to look back and reflect on things and realize God's hand was there all along. And I try to share this every time that I get in front of a group of people to speak, that in those darkest moments, when I was laying there in the hospital bed, I gave up after probably 2 days in the ICU. I was in so much pain. There was a lot of construction going on at the OSU Medical Center when I was there. And this one day, there was just this constant banging going on right outside my window. And every time that noise would hit, it was like I was getting struck by lightning. It felt like I was just getting electrocuted. My nervous system was going haywire. And this went on for over an hour, and I was just through. It was I was cashing in my chips. I was done. And I was just saying the Lord's Prayer over and over, asking God to take me, because I couldn't do it anymore. And those seconds turned into minutes, and minutes into hours, and so on and so forth. And I was still there. And I realized that I needed to just continue to rely on God, because if I'm going to be here through this, then I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. And from then on, it was relying on one person to the next, from my doctors to my therapists, to my family, to my friends, my teammates. People would come and visit me in the hospital and give me that encouragement to get me through those days. There were plenty of days that I sat there crying in my hospital bed because I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. I wanted to just continue living my dream and living a good life. And at that time, I had so many questions and muscle spasms. Derek, you got this the first time. He'll get me. Yeah. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Rely on others, right? Sorry, 1 second. All right, we're good. Need the music going. I got my beat going. Lost my train of thought. So, yeah, lying in the hospital bed, you rely on one person to the next, from my doctors to my therapist to my family, my friends, my teammates, and my wife. Each and every day, I have to ask for help. But you know what? My day is that much better because I do, because those other people are there to help me through it and help me with the things that I can do. So, again, just please don't ever give up hope. Please don't ever give up faith. And I'll end with this. You heard on the video that my injury was on April 14th, and that was back in 2006, and that happened to be Good Friday. And that always stuck with me, that there was something significant about that, that, my relationship with God and everything surrounding my injury, just there was something bigger going on. And in the video, you also saw my wife is pregnant, and that was back in 2016, so 10 years after my injury. We went through fertility to get pregnant and, relied on God to just kind of take care of the rest. So there was no way of planning or, planning this out or anything. It was completely God's hand. 10 years after my injury, March 27, 2016, my son was born. And that was one of the questions that went through my mind on, after my injury, was would I ever be able to have kids? Would I ever be a father and a husband and all that? And March 27, 2016 was Easter Sunday. And I just love that. And it just really tells me that God is there, even though you don't always see it, you don't always feel it. You'll be able to look back someday after going through your struggles and realize that God was there all along. And you just have to rely on those little things, those little glimpses of His awesomeness that you'll catch here and there. So don't ever give up hope in that, and just keep looking for God Sometimes he whispers. You have to listen. But don't ever give up hope. So with that, I'll close in prayer and thank you for hearing my story. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time to share a little bit of my testimony with everyone here. Lord, I pray that you just watch over each and every person in this congregation. And even if only one person is able to take something from my message and apply it to his or her life, Lord, this whole trip has been worth it just for that. And I know that you will continue to work all things together for good. As it says in Romans 8:28, that you will just take every situation and work it together somehow, some way, sometime, no matter how far in the future, work it together for good. And no matter what we go through struggle-wise, Lord, we know that you are with us and we know that you strengthen us. And Father, I just ask that you continue to lead us and give us that hope and surround us with community and love that we can lean on in those times of weakness and know that you will be there in those moments of darkness, that as that song said, that we would run out of the darkness and into your light. And Lord, we just love you and thank you for all the strength that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Can we get up one more time for Tyson for being here today? Before and after, that's pretty impressive, man. That's good, man. It's so good to have another Buckeye in the house today. Hey, as you guys are standing up, we're gonna end in singing one last song, a song that we all love, "Resurrecting," which is really the kind of anthem of this whole series. Where in the midst of pain, in the midst of unknown and doubt, and the ashes that God wants to breathe life in and to give us hope in those moments. So let's sing this song together as we lift our eyes up to Jesus.